My guest at this time is Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, one of the leading voices in the scientific community expressing skepticism to the idea that human activity is causing major climate change that is destructive to the planet. We want to get his reaction to the latest report from the United Nations panel on climate change, as well as some of the rebuttals to that report. And, sir, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
The big news that was blasted pretty much in every major news source over the past several days has been that the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has said they're more certain than ever. It's almost a certifiable fact that human activity is pretty much the entire cause for the troubling climate change pattern that we've seen. I believe the number was 95% certain. I'm not sure how that was quantified, but I'm guessing, given your previous skepticism of the IPCC, that you're not overly surprised by that report.
That's the result they get when you premeditate your science. When you set out to establish a certain scientific outcome and you program your computers to do that, you shouldn't be surprised if that's the result you get. The problem is that what they're getting out of their computers is not fitting with what's actually happening. And, of course, that's been the problem with the IPCC all along. Now, what they did was, this was also orchestrated, they produced the summary for policymakers. That is, that it's a document written to scare the public and scare the politicians into providing more funding for their own research and their own political agenda. And the actual science report, which it supposedly is based on, isn't going to be released right away. And the reason for that, they've always done it this way, is because the summary for policymakers completely disagrees with what the science report is saying. Now, they know that the media and the public are not going to read the science report, and they also know that if any of them get into it, they won't understand it anyway. And so they produce this summary, as I said, that is purely political, and it's written by politicians for the most part, and some scientists who've been corrupted. So they bring it out, and that's what you got. The analogy that I've always used for the process is it's like the CEO of a company writing an executive report and then sending it to the management saying, find the facts to support what I've written in the executive report. It literally is that wrong way round. And so they've done it again. They brought it out. And, of course, they're particularly doubling up on, before they were only 90%+ certain, now they're 95% certain. But they've got to double down because, as I said, the temperature is going down and it has for 17 years while CO2 increases. And according to their hypothesis and model, that's simply not supposed to happen. And so, of course, in a panic mode, rather than doing what they should do and coming out and saying, our science is wrong, our models are wrong, and we apologize for all the inconvenience we caused you, they're just plowing ahead.
Well, as you said, the main thesis of the climate change movement, in addition to the scientists on this panel, is that higher temperatures are caused by a larger rate of carbon dioxide in the air, but those numbers are not working in tandem like they seem to be a number of years ago. So what do you attribute to the fact that temperatures are not going up while CO2 rates still are?
Well, it's the one thing that they've ignored from the start, and they've ignored it. It's the sun. They've ignored the sun because they defined their study, what they were looking at, in the definition of climate change. The United Nations Commission on Climate Change in 1992 said, IPCC, we want you to look at only those climate changes caused by human activity. Well, you can't possibly determine that if you don't know what natural variability is and how natural variability changes over time. So they set themselves a deliberately impossible task, but they then wrote computer programs, as I said in my opening comment, they wrote computer programs to do that. The computer models were set up to produce the result that they wanted. It was premeditated science, and premeditation in murder is twice as bad as regular, and it's totally unacceptable in science. So that's what they've done, and that's what's happening here. They've achieved a premeditated result, and they're stuck with it.
But if it's the political report or the policy report that gets the attention, and it's the scientific report that actually has the facts, but no one will pay attention to that, how does your side of this debate gain more traction? I know to some extent public opinion has shifted in your direction, but how do you combat those factors when they're working like that?
Well, the sun, by the way, is causing the cooling that's going on. The sun reached a peak of activity around 2000 and has been declining ever since. And they don't even call it a decline. They say it's a pause. Which suggests that, it's going to keep on going up, and it isn't. It's going to keep on going down for a while. But the answer to your question is that the main reason they were able to get away with what they've got away with is that the majority of the media, the mainstream media, were complicit in what they were doing. For example, you had people like Seth Bornstein and Andrew Revkin, who was at the New York Times, George Monbiot in the Guardian. These people were actually communicating by email with these scientists and saying, what do we say about this? The corruption of journalistic integrity was truly frightening. And then they marginalized, of course, those newspapers and those journals that dared to question what they were saying. For example, they actually got an editor of an academic journal fired, James Sayer of the Geophysical Research Letters. They got him fired because he dared to publish an article that disagreed with what they were saying. So the degree of control was very bad. Revkin, by the way, to his credit, did resign a month after it came out that he'd been sending emails to these people. So, and this is where the founding fathers have been corrupted, because they believed that the media would be the watchdogs, the gatekeepers, and the mainstream media have just simply failed completely. Message is getting out, of course, is through the growing dependence upon the internet and blogs and the 2 billion eyes on the internet that are watching what these people are doing, instead of a few hundred in the mainstream media. So you're seeing a transition of democracy here going on as well.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Ball, expert in climatology, former professor at the University of Winnipeg. Sir, another story that has come out recently and is certainly being used by folks on your side of this debate to make a point is that there are record amounts right now of Antarctic ice, much greater than even last year, and it's certainly trending in that direction. Why is that the case, and how significant is that?
Well, the southern hemisphere has been cooling for longer than the northern hemisphere. The record low temperatures, but of course, again, we go back to the media. All they report was the record warm temperatures, so the Antarctic ice has been growing, and as you said, reached a record in the modern satellite observation. But this was the year also, by the way, that even NASA, one scientist in NASA, predicted that the Arctic ice in the summer would be gone completely. Well, there's 60% more ice this year than last year. And the reason is because of the cooling sun and the colder temperatures. The weather station at Eureka on the North Canadian coast recorded the coldest August in 67 years of record. And so the world is cooling down, but the mainstream media are still not reporting that. So gradually, as we get this information out through the blogs and through programs like yours, and say, no, here's the other side that they're not telling you, and then people will start to say, well, why aren't they telling me that? And then the whole house of cards will come tumbling down.
As you have described many times in our conversations, Dr. Ball, the climate kind of works in cycles, and you're explaining the transition from warmer temperatures to now colder temperatures. Based on the best evidence out there, how much cooler will things get before that starts to bottom out and head back the other way?
Well, at the current trend, we're getting colder temperatures, and we're headed towards what occurred around the year 1800. It was called the Dalton minimum of low sunspot activities. We certainly are down to that in number of sunspots this year, and so that means the cooling trend will continue for at least till 2030. And yet the government's preparing for warming, which is outrageous. But some people think that this cycle of sunspot activity and global cooling will take us down to as cold as it was around 1680, which was the nadir of the Little Ice Age. And, of course, that had a huge influence upon the growth of America and the impact upon the battles and so on, the snow conditions. So, but at the present time, we're certainly looking at cooling equal to anything that we've had in the last 200 years.
Last question for you, Dr. Ball. As you well know, the other side of this debate has kind of morphed into an argument that any sort of extreme weather is evidence that this human impact on climate change is happening. So it's not just if temperatures get warmer, it's if there's a severe storm, it's if things get exceptionally cold. All of these kind of are rolled into the same argument. What do you say to that?
You only got to do look at the evidence. I mean, look, the hurricanes were supposed to increase. They're virtually none this year. Tornadoes have decreased over the last several years. There is not more severe weather. There's more extreme range of temperatures. You see, you've got record highs and record colds, but only the warms are being reported. The reason for that is the jet stream, as the world cools down, the jet stream, instead of being basically west to east, becomes much more north-south. So in the middle latitudes, particularly across the U.S. and Europe, you swing from record warms to record colds. So that's perfectly understandable and explained by natural variability, but of course they're not looking at natural variability. So their argument about increased severe weather is evidence of global warming is completely false.
Dr. Ball, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.